You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control.
Welcome to the DolphinsTalk.com post-game wrap-up show. I'm with Tom Hermosy. With me, as always, Mike Oliva. Mike, Dolphins get to 500 after beating the Jets today, 24-0. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. The Miami Dolphins are 500 and in second place in the AFC East, which a few weeks ago I wouldn't have thought was possible. So life is great after another Miami Dolphins win, a shutout victory. We beat, you know, Adam Gase, that egg-sucking dog that he is. So life can't get much better for me right now. It wasn't a picture-perfect victory. There were some things here. You know, most weeks after a win, we say we don't want to nitpick too much. This is one where we can nitpick some because there were some things here that were a little bit of red flags that we need to talk about. But overall, big picture view, the Miami Dolphins won. The Patriots lost. They're in second place right now. And, you know, all depending on what happens Monday night with the Chiefs, the Miami Dolphins might go into the bye week just one game out of first place. Who would have thought it?
Oh, I definitely would have thought. I had no clue that the Dolphins, especially after the first two games of the season, to be in position at this point, to be sitting in second place by themselves right now in the AFC East, is nothing short of a feat in itself. This is year two of a rebuild. The Dolphins are sitting at 3-3, and have a very favorable schedule over the next 6 weeks. Obviously, the bye week comes first, but the next six games is pretty favorable for the Miami Dolphins to make a little run here.
Absolutely.
I may be getting ahead of myself, but if the Dolphins can correct the issues of today's game and play and win against the Rams and put up a fight against Arizona and maybe pull that game off and then go and beat, you know, potentially beat the Chargers. Listen, these teams that they're going against here over the next 6 weeks are not world beaters, folks.
No, and I break it down even more. Look at the next four. Where they the next four games. Hold on, I wrote it down right here. Rams, Cardinals, Chargers, Broncos. If they can go 2-2 or better, but at worst 2-2 there, which would put them at 5-5. After that, you got the Jets again, you got Cincinnati. Then that's when they can really start making up some ground at the end of the year. So the next four games, if they can go 2-2 or better, because the Rams won't be easy. The Cardinals on the road won't be easy. The Chargers, they're putting up fights each week. That won't be an easy game. So just, you know, split the next four or do better. And I think the Miami Dolphins will be in a nice spot here to make a run at a wild card spot. And who knows, if a team falls apart like the Patriots or the Bills, maybe they can actually make a run at the AFC East. But I do say this, though. If, you know, yes, we are getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but for them to win the AFC East, the Bills need to lose a game to the Chiefs that they have Monday night at 5 p.m. Eastern. That game is 5 p.m. Eastern. It's not the late game. So, you know, we're going to need some help here. But look, 3-3, shutout performance today. There were some things that weren't great. We got that. But overall, an outstanding victory, which we will break down here in a few moments, Tom.
Absolutely. It was a, you know, I think this was, I said this before we even came out, I think this was one of the ugliest shutouts I've ever seen in the NFL. But regardless, it's a win. You know,
that's so right. You don't give them back. You don't give wins back.
Yeah, you don't give wins back. You get wins in this league. You take them and you run and you work on the things that did not go well. And there were things. And listen, folks, we do have to talk about some of the bad, because
There was some this week.
There was some bad this week from the Miami Dolphins.
Yep.
And
let me just say this
part of, it's part of the game. It's part of the it's just a part of what's going on.
Let me just put it this way. Two things can be true at the same time. We can be happy that the Miami Dolphins won, that they are 3-3, that they're in second place. We can be totally happy about that. We can also, though, at the same time, you know, be objective, be honest, and point out the flaws in this game of things that did not go well. Because if the Miami Dolphins today were playing any other team other than the Jets, they would have struggled to get a win. Because, you know, for the first time all year, the offensive line was not great today. Ryan Fitzpatrick in his red zone woes came up again today. Ryan Fitzpatrick overall, I knew he threw for 3 touchdowns, and some people just look at that. 2 interceptions, 1 in the red zone. He wasn't great today. So we don't have to be a blind-ass fan. We can be objective and happy at the same time, and that's what we're going to be on this show. Yes, we're excited that Miami won. They're at 500. But, you know, I don't even think I should have to say this, but I know how some people who listen to us, who send me emails and tweets and Facebook messages, you know, just aren't emotionally stable enough to focus on two things at once. Yes, we're happy they won, but there were a lot of red flags in this game that we have to talk about. But hey, they came out with a win, and that's all that matters at the end of the day. But we'll talk about some of the negative stuff, because there is not a lot, but there's some to talk about from this win.
Absolutely. So let's get right to it. The Jets received the opening kickoff. And Mike, you're lucky I didn't play my own drinking game today, because Adam Gase's play calling
sucks.
Is atrocious. And that's why I think a lot of this, the issues with his offense, is because people know the script. The Jets go 3-and-out on their opening possession. And I'm going to keep a running tally of this for me, okay? Each of the Jets drives today. We're going to keep it to running tally.
I'll write it down.
On first down, they ran with Frank Gore, all right? They went 3-and-out. So that's really the highlight for the Jets as I go through their possessions, because they didn't score. The Dolphins go 3-and-out on their opening possession, and the Jets take over. On first play for the Jets, Frank Gore ran the football. And they went 3-and-out. They punted. The Dolphins, on their second possession, go 8 plays, 66 yards. They took 4 minutes and 44 seconds off the clock. That ended in a Ryan Fitzpatrick to, for the second week in a row, Adam Shaheen, 4-yard touchdown reception. And this drive was very, very nice by Miles Gaskin as he ran for 6 yards on first down. 15-yard run on second down. He had a 6-yard reception. Then he had an 11-yard run. And, you know, so overall, that was the drive that kind of set the tone for the game, particularly for Miles Gaskin, who was not happy. Miami Dolphins were looking at Le'Veon Bell.
Yep. And, you know, for those of you who missed it, and I want to give this a plug, if you're not following us on Instagram right now, please follow us on Instagram. I know we have a lot of people who follow us on Facebook, a lot of people who follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram at Dolphins Talk, because every Sunday I'm going to do a little morning show there in Instagram Live. I did the first one this week, and one of the things I spoke about heavily on that Instagram pre-show was the Miami Dolphins running back, whether it was Miles Gaskin and Matt Breida. You know, would they come out with a chip on their shoulder, and would they come out with something to prove here? Because they were a little upset about the Miami Dolphins' interest in Le'Veon Bell. Clearly they were. Miles Gaskin averaged 5.1 yards per carry today. And, you know, he has been a pleasant surprise this entire season. And, you know, he was out there today pretty much saying, Le'Veon who? Because he was out there on a mission. He was utterly fantastic in every aspect of the game, receiving the ball, running the ball. And it is worth noting, for the second week in a row, Jordan Howard was a healthy scratch. Jordan Howard was inactive for this game, and it's just a matter of when, not if now, the Miami Dolphins let him go, because he adds nothing to this team. Like I said earlier this week, Tom, you know, it looked like he ate his way through COVID, and he looks slow, he looks out of shape, and, you know, he just brings nothing to the table. But Miles Gaskin was sensational today.
Yes, he was, and it was very nice to see on the pregame show. I jokingly almost ended the show telling Dante, this is the type of game I'd like to see
Myles Gaskin put up over 100 yards of total offense, maybe even get to 130 or 140 total yards. And he was damn close. So the Dolphins go up 7-0 after the Adam Shaheen touchdown reception. The Jets take possession and drive down to the Miami 40, but on the first play of this drive, it was a pass. So Adam Gase threw me off. But the punt that the Jets had at the end of the first quarter ended the first quarter. And before we came back, before the TV crew came back, there was a penalty on that final punt that actually set the Dolphins up in pretty good field position as a face mask penalty was enforced, and the Dolphins ended up having the football at the 35-yard line to begin the second quarter of this game. And it did not take long for the Dolphins. 7 plays, 65 yards, 3 minutes and 44 seconds, ending in a Ryan Fitzpatrick 2, Preston Williams 3-yard touchdown reception. This drive was, like I said, it was quick. Started at the 35. First, it was Matt Breida with a 10-yard reception. Matt Breida for 1 yard. Devontae Parker for 10. Miles Gaskin for 9, and then added a face mask penalty for another 15. Then it was Miles Gaskin on a reception for 16. Miles Gaskin for 1 yard to get it to the 3-yard line, and ending in the Preston Williams touchdown. Mike, Preston Williams is heating up.
He's back. He's back to his old form. you know, and that play that they run with him near the goal line, you know, it's worked every time they ran it, except for week 2 against the Bills where he actually just dropped the ball. But every other time they've run that play, it's worked, just like the tight end play that works again for a touchdown here in a few moments. And on the first drive, you know, they got some cute little plays here when they get inside the 10-yard line that work like clockwork, that they keep going back to time and time again. And hopefully, you know, teams don't really pick up on this and they can continue to run those plays with success, because with Preston Williams and with the tight ends, they are just, you know, scoring easy touchdowns when they get, you know, close to the end zone when they are able to finish out drives.
Yes, absolutely. So the Dolphins go up 14-0. The Jets take over on first play. Frank Gore runs right tackle. The Jets once again go 3-and-out. The Dolphins take over. They go 3-and-out. The Jets take over on 3rd and 6. Joe Flacco throws short left. Intercepted by who? Who intercepts passes for the Dolphins, Mike?
Xavien Howard with his 4th interception this year.
4 in a row.
4 in a row. 4th interception this year. And right now, he has vaulted to the top of the list for a contender for NFL Defensive Player of the Year. That award is in grasp for him, and he will be in the conversation if he continues to play like this. Now, look, we can't expect an interception each and every week. That's just unreasonable. But if he continues to play at this level, if he continues to get interceptions throughout the remainder of the season, he will be in, you know, he's up there right now. Who else are you going to give it to? He's up there for NFL Defensive Player of the Year if he continues to play like this. He was once, now look, everything we say about them on this side of the ball, we have to take with a grain of salt because the Jets are literally so bad on offense. But again, you want your guys to make plays against a bad offense. If they're not making plays, then something's wrong. But he was great today, as most of the players were on defense.
Absolutely. He has been fantastic. You know, yes, he did not look himself in the first couple games, but since the Jacksonville game, I mean, yeah, he had 6 receptions for 133 yards against the Seahawks. That's without Byron Jones playing in that football game, but even in to the 3 other games surrounding it, I think he's only given up like 8 total receptions. That's including the 6 from the 1 game. So he has been absolutely lights out, lockdown corner for the Miami Dolphins. And Byron Jones on the other side has been fantastic also. Yeah, he gave up some plays today, but you know what? What was the score? It was 0. The Jets couldn't do anything against the Dolphins defense, and they were very aggressive. But Xavien Howard getting his 4th interception on the season in as many games is
like you said, he is vault. He is in the conversation for right now, week six, as it sits, he's in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year, because right now there's nobody else other than maybe Aaron Donald who is standing out as much on defense as Xavien Howard for their team.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, I don't know what their criteria is for comeback player of the year. He might've played too many games last year. I don't know, but he's in a conversation for that too. Cause I know last year, I think he played 7 or 8 games. I'm not sure exactly.
He has to be in the conversation,
but
he has,
I don't know the criteria though. I think you have had to miss so many games. I don't know what the criteria is. If he meets the criteria, then he'll be in the conversation. If not, then he won't. But I don't know what it is, though.
I don't know if that results in, you know, total games played, because Ryan Tannehill was comeback player of the year last year for the Titans. He started 10 games, but he started 13 the year before for the Dolphins. So yeah, I don't think game criteria really makes sense there. But I think if it's a comeback season from what they were accustomed to vaults them to a higher level, maybe that's where it comes from. But
maybe
either way, he's been fantastic, and we're excited to continue to see what he can do going forward. As long as that knee holds up, Xavien Howard is top 5 corner in the league. And the conversation stops with anybody thinking he is being traded, he will be released, or any of those conversations. Those are dead.
Yeah,
Xavien Howard's going nowhere. I don't care what his contract is and what his dead money is or whatever else. Xavien Howard is going nowhere. He's on this team for the very long haul.
Yep, absolutely.
The Dolphins took over after the interception. Unfortunately, had to punt to give the Jets possession at their 20-yard line. LaMichael Perrin, left tackle. For 3 yards.
He stinks.
First down. Yeah. But I'm making the point.
I know.
So another 3 and out. The Dolphins get possession at the 48-yard line. Miles Gaskin went for 1 yard. And on cue, Mike, I tweeted, I said, I want to see Fitzpatrick get more aggressive. And on the very next play, within seconds of that tweet hitting Twitter, he went deep middle to Adam Shaheen for 43 yards. That set up after the 2-minute warning. Durham Smythe, 4-yard touchdown reception, and the Dolphins go up 21-0 just before the half. Good to see the aggression there from Ryan Fitzpatrick, because at 14-0, yeah, you feel a little confident, but when it goes to 21-0 against an inept offense that is the New York Jets, now the confidence is sky high.
Yeah, and I want to say something here about the tight ends, because heading into the year, one of the big things we were worried about was who's going to be the number 2 tight end behind Mike Gesicki and all that. Adam Shaheen, you know, has sort of stepped up here into a nice little pass catcher for the Miami Dolphins in that number 2 role. Mike Gesicki's now, because he has played at such a high level the first, you know, all last year and the first few games of this year, he's getting all this attention. They need that number 2 tight end to step up. He's stepping up in a big way. Another touchdown, a big catch here on this drive. Like you said, Smythe, who's not known as a receiver, he caught a touchdown here. Overall, the tight end group, you know, surprisingly good after Gesicki. We know he's good, but after him, there's a lot of questions about who's going to step up, who's going to do this, who's going to do that. They got a nice little tight end room right now. Look, it's not the best in the league, but it's a nice little room where everyone is contributing in their own way, and that's been one of the pleasant surprises as well here through 6 games.
Absolutely. So the Jets take over, and on 1st and 10, LaMichael Perrin up the middle for 6 yards on 1st down. The Jets go 3 and out. The Dolphins get the ball back, make a little headway after we have to talk about this play. Yeah. So Miles Gaskin goes for 7 yards on 1st down. And then the next play, Ryan Fitzpatrick scrambles, picks up 4 yards in the 1st down. And then an unnecessary roughness 15-yard penalty. So Fitzpatrick slid feet first, which means you don't hit the quarterback. And the third guy for the New York Jets, so the first two guys just kind of fell in place because he was going down. They were there. I get it. No harm, no foul. But the third guy went in there and gave a big shot to the back of Fitzpatrick's head. And the player, who was that? Jenkins? I think it was his name.
Yeah.
And he should have been thrown out of the game. That was absolutely ridiculous and a testament to the defensive coordinator, Greg Williams, who is known to teach guys to do this kind of crap.
Well, I don't know if he – well,
listen.
Look, I'll go easy on him. I don't know if he taught the guy to go and hit him late, but it was a hit to the head and neck area, which in this league, I don't care if you're sliding, if you're diving right. If you hit anyone above the neck area, you're getting flagged. And, you know, Greg Williams has a reputation, I know. I'm not going to put this – I'm not going to put the personal foul on him. But it was a cheap shot. But you know what? Whatever. Is what it is. His name is Jordan Jenkins. Never heard of him. Look, you can't name half the guys on this Jets roster. That's why they're 0-6. That's why they're going to go 0-16. They're not any freaking good. And they got a lot of guys, just like Miami last year, who don't belong in the NFL. And this is why they don't belong in the NFL, because they're stupid and they're bad players. So is what it is. I mean, I can't get worked up over it. I mean, you can't hit a guy to the head and neck area, period.
Well, the reputation precedes the defensive coordinator, so I give him no slack because he's the guy coaching him. So the Dolphins, unfortunately, stall out as Ryan Fitzpatrick gets the team down to the 16-yard line after a 30-yard completion to Jakeem Grant down the right sideline. And Fitzpatrick turned into Fitztragic as he tried to force in a window where three Jets were in a zone coverage, and it was intercepted, intended for Mike Gesicki. And the Jets stall out the Miami Dolphins. And we go into the half. After a knee, we go into the half. The Dolphins up 21-0. And the Dolphins receive the second half kickoff. Unfortunately, go 3-and-out. And the Jets take over. And Frank Gore, left tackle. So another run on first down. The Miami Dolphins get the ball back after another 3-and-out by the Jets. And the Dolphins, unfortunately, themselves go 3-and-out. And the Jets take over, and Frank Gore goes up the middle for 12 yards on first down. That was pretty much the extent of the drive for the Jets, as they had a punt after the first down run from Gore. The Dolphins take over at their own 40-yard line after Jakeem Grant 15-yard punt return, and today was Jakeem Grant day on special teams, Mike. I have to quickly bring that up, because it seemed like every punt that went to Jakeem Grant, he was making plays with the football in his hand, at minimum getting between 8 to 15 yards on every single time that he touched the football on the punt return.
I thought he set the Dolphins
up in very good field position all day. It's just the offense couldn't cash in as much as they probably should have in this game today. But the Dolphins do get a field goal on the ensuing possession from Jason Sanders. Money Jason Sanders. 24-yard field goal is good, and he remains perfect on the season with extra points and field goals. He is quickly becoming one of my favorite Dolphins, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, he's having a great year. There's no way around it. He had an easy day today, but he was great once again.
After the field goal and the Dolphins up 24-0, the Jets go. Who's their third string running back? Johnson goes left tackle for 8 yards, so another run on first down. And the Jets on 3rd-and-1 have an incomplete pass and an intentional grounding that went with it. And then they tried a field goal from 55 yards, and Ficken missed way left, not even just wide left. It was way left. And the Dolphins end the third quarter with a 9-yard run from Miles Gaskin. And then Matt Breida lost a yard. So at the end of three quarters, it's 24-0. And in the fourth quarter, the score stayed the same. But I do have to make note of this. The Jets on 1st-and-10, after the Dolphins punt, they run. The Dolphins get the ball back after the punt from the Jets, and Ryan Fitzpatrick goes deep down the field to Preston Williams. And I have to say, Marcus May, the Jets are now known for a butt fumble and a butt interception, because I have no idea how Marcus May, with the wherewithal, while he was tangled up like a UFC fighter with Preston Williams on the ground, to reach back and hold the football against his butt to get the interception. Mike, that was a tremendous play.
It was a tremendous play. It was probably their highlight of the day. Probably the only positive play they had, actually. So I will say this, and we got to talk. Let's talk now about Fitzpatrick and the offense overall. Because there's a few more drives here, but nothing really happened. Well, something happens, but Fitzpatrick, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. You got a question on that drive, why they came out and threw that pass. It made no sense to me, honestly. You're up 24-0. You're late in the game here. Why are you throwing it deep? I didn't understand the play call at all. It was very much head-scratching. Fitzpatrick threw a poor play, threw a poor pass. And this is one of the things I'm going to say here that was critical. Well, there's a couple, but I'll touch on one now. The Miami Dolphins won this game today in spite of Ryan Fitzpatrick, not because of him. The interception at the end of the first half in the red zone was absolutely a horrid throw. And those are the types of throw, which, yeah, you'll beat a team like the Jets. And you can make those mistakes, and you're still going to beat a team like the Jets. But in games that matter, like Seattle, when you're in the red zone, you can't make mistakes like that, and you can't settle for field goals. And there was a stretch in this game in the second quarter where the Miami Dolphins started in Jets territory 3 times in a row and got 0 points. That's a reflection of your quarterback. Ryan Fitzpatrick today wasn't good. This interception, kind of fluky. I understand that, and it is what it is. But overall, Fitzpatrick did not play a good game today. He didn't. And, you know, and on this play, I questioned the play call, what Chan Gailey was even doing, because in the first half, the Miami Dolphins were so successful running the ball, just running the ball, running the ball, running the ball. Miles Gaskin, like I said, 5.1 yards per carry. He was having success. We have a big lead late in the game, and we're throwing it deep. I don't understand why. If anything, you want to just chew up clock and get the hell in the locker room and move on. So a lot of things here I just are very much head-scratching. But overall, you know, is what it is. And the Jets, you know, actually had one positive play on day, because literally that was the only positive play they had on the day.
Yeah, so after the interception, Johnson runs left end on first down. This drive got down to the Miami Dolphins' 29-yard line. And the next play, this is something out of Madden, Mike.
I know.
You take a shotgun snap, Joe Flacco retreats, and then he retreats even again, and he retreats again, and the play ends at the New York Jet 43-yard line. It was a 28-yard sack for Emmanuel Ogbah, and if that doesn't scream the New York Jets on offense, that play right there signals exactly what they do every single week. They lost 28 total yards on one play.
That's their season right in a nutshell. That is their season in a nutshell. Joe Flacco's been around a bit too. I have no idea what he was doing. You know, his best days are behind him. He's just out there for the money, which I don't blame him because they're probably paying him a lot of money. He is just out there for the money at this point. He's got his ring. He's made a name for himself. I mean, he can't play in this league anymore. Ogbah had another sensational game. I'll say this about Ogbah. This sack was obviously a thing of beauty. You saw Ogbah's length, how he just, when he extended his arms, Flacco, who can't move anyways, just could not even escape him. Ogbah has 5 sacks through 6 games. The past 3 weeks, he has really turned it on, because the first few games he did nothing. He has really turned it on the past 3 weeks. And give this man an extension. I want to see him in a Miami Dolphins uniform for many, many more years. He has been outstanding, fantastic, fabulous. 2 sacks today. This one, obviously, a little bit of a laugher, but overall, Ogbah continues to bring the pass rush. This Miami Dolphins pass rush, the past 3 weeks or so, has really stepped up and on a consistent basis. And, you know, this is what they need to do on that side of the ball. And it really does really stem from the return of Jones. Once he comes back, they can call a totally different game on that side of the ball. The front seven can be far more aggressive when you know you got Jones on one side, Howard on the other, and it's just like, hey, you know, you take your shot against them, we're going to let the front seven loose. And that's kind of what's happened here the past few games. And Ogbah's really been the guy who has been, you know, stepping up here in a big spot and playing well.
Yeah, he has. And, you know, like you said, the entire pass rushing unit right now for the Dolphins, this is night and day. You know, they are generating pressure. They are sending blitzes, yes, but the pressure is definitely coming from the outside between Ogbah and Shaq Lawson. These guys are getting after the quarterback frequently. You know, they've had Russell Wilson on edge last week against the 49ers, just absolutely destroyed Jimmy Garoppolo. and CJ Beathard. And, you know, if you want to hear, if you want to know a testament, so we're recording this on Sunday night. If you want a testament to the game the Dolphins played last week, the 49ers are up on the Rams right now, 14-6. So it's just been, you know, the pass rush is getting there. They're getting the job done. And Brian Flores even said, it's not about the sacks. It's about generating the pressure. And they got the pressure home time and time again. How many times, Mike, today did Joe Flacco throw off his back foot because he was getting rushed?
Yeah, I mean, a lot. That, once again, part of it is the Jets. They are that bad. Joe Flacco is that bad. But the other part is the Miami Dolphins were able to just line up and beat the man across from them. Christian Wilkins is turning into an absolute monster right now. He is, you know, he's playing like a first-round pick. And he's making numerous impact plays week in and week out. Not just, you know, one play here, one play there. Numerous impact plays week in and week out. Christian Wilkins playing like a first-round pick. Agba, he's playing like the guy who led Kansas City in sacks prior to being hurt last year. He is playing at that level right now. He has been sensational. Shaq Lawson, he's improved since, you know, he's having a nice year. Andrew Van Ginkle, my favorite guy. You know, he didn't play much today. He had to leave the game with a concussion, which we'll talk about later. But, you know, when he's on the field, he's been getting after the quarterback. The Miami Dolphins pass rush is alive and well right now, and they need to continue because, yeah, it's not about the sacks. It's just about making the quarterback uncomfortable. When you can make quarterbacks in this league uncomfortable, get them off their mark, get them off their spot, make them have happy feet, make them, you know, have that clock in their head be quicker than it should be, that's how you play successful defense. That's how you generate turnovers. That's how you get three and outs and get off the field. Pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. That's all it's about.
Absolutely. So after the whopping 28-yard sack, the Jets had a punt. The Dolphins went three and out, and the Jets took over at their 25-yard line, and they passed on first down there. But they had a nice drive put together to get down to the Miami Dolphins 7 after
Tom. Nope, since that's the last offensive drive for the Jets, I have the running tally if you want it.
Yes.
The Jets ran the ball. Hold on. Can't read my own handwriting here. They ran the ball 12 times, and they passed it twice on first down. And one of the two
offensive
was that final.
Genius.
And one of the two was that final drive where they had to throw because you're down 24-0 with time running out.
Yep.
If he had time, he probably would have ran it.
Listen, if that doesn't scream offensive guru, I don't know what does. He's brilliant, I tell you. So the Jets, they do get down to the Dolphins 7, and after three straight incompletions, the Dolphins do take over at their 7-yard line. And Mike, it happened.
It's time. Sound like Bruce Buffer. It's time.
It's time.
It's Tua time.
It was Tua time, and Tua came onto the field, and Mike, it sounded like there was 40,000 to 50,000 people in the stands because it was loud when he came onto the field, and the amount of people that were out of their chairs, the Tua jerseys in the stands, everybody videoing his first time on the Miami Dolphins field, was just such a great thing to watch. And, of course, on first down, they ran it to Matt Breida for 1 yard. After the two-minute warning, the Dolphins have it at 2nd and 9 at their 8. Tua rolls out to his left, throws to Patrick Laird, complete for 2 yards. And on third down, Tua hit Jakeem Grant for 7, gets the first down. And then from there, it just you run it twice with Matt Breida, and the game ends. And the Miami Dolphins are victorious, 24-0, and we are. It's a little before 9:30 here on Sunday night, and the news still has not come through that Adam Gase has been fired. I am still stunned that has not come through yet. But the Dolphins do win 24-0.
Let's talk about Tua. We got to talk about Tua. Okay, talk about a few things. A few things. Number one, from just a human interest standpoint, to see this kid in less than a calendar year, to know everything he went through with the hip injury and the comeback and the draft and all that stuff. From a human interest standpoint, it was almost emotional watching him run out there on the field to play in a meaningful game. So tip of the cap there. It was outstanding to see. The second thing I want to say is, you know, throughout the game, you know, we knew heading into this game that the Miami Dolphins were going to probably win this game and win it somewhat easily, win it handily, and they did. You know, and we all sort of speculated, might this be the week where late in the game, where they're up by a lot, you get them on the field for a little bit. And it ended up being the case. Some of you fans who interact with me on social media or via email and all that good stuff, you got to relax, because you cannot have this fear. Tom, what people were sending me, not all people, because most of them like you, like me, want to see him play. But there's a segment of this fan base that lives in constant fear. And our good friend, the big O, Orlando Ilzagheri, coined a phrase many years ago that sort of fits this type of situation. As a fan of the Dolphins, you can't be a panic pussy. You cannot be in panic for like every little thing. Tua Tagovailoa, you know, you can't be afraid he's going to get hurt. Tom, I had people messaging me. They're playing Greg Williams, Bounty Gate. He's going to hurt Tua. Guys, Greg Williams ain't going nowhere. He might get fired by the Jets. He can get hired by another team. Tua's going to play coordinators who are unsavory people, okay? He's going to be on an NFL field taking hits. If you're afraid of that, we should have drafted him, because there's risk involved being an NFL. Look at Dak Prescott last week. That's a fluke freak injury. It could happen to any player at any time. So you can't live in fear of this guy getting on the field. There's people saying, why play him? He might get hurt. Yeah, he might. Just like any player might get hurt. That doesn't mean you never play the kid. And as I said to you last week, Tom, the only way you play this kid is if you let him throw the ball. We don't need to see him go out there just turn and hand off. I know he can turn and hand off. Any quarterback in the NFL can take a snap, turn and hand off. You learn. There's no experience to be gained by that. There's no learning from that. So they let him throw the ball, thank God, because otherwise, what's the point? And, you know, they didn't take risks. It was all short passes, safe passes. That's great. And we can't read a lot into this. He threw two passes. He completed them both. He was also the only quarterback for the Miami Dolphins in this game to convert on third down. I know it was in junk time, but just a little something funny. Because Ryan Fitzpatrick, he did not convert a third down the entire game. But just from, you know, if we don't sprinkle him in here in games where we're up by a lot or down by a lot, that's just being stupid. And it was nice to see Brian Flores not be stupid. There's no risk. He's an NFL player. He cashes NFL paychecks. Yes, he might get hit. Live with it. I mean, what? I mean, there's no way to ensure he's never going to get hit. And the best part of this, which we have pictures up on my Twitter feed at Dolphins Talk. After the game ended, after all the fans left, after everyone went home, after each team went to the locker room, Tua, in full uniform, walked back out on the field, just sort of sat down on the field, middle of the field, and just soaked it in. I can only imagine what was going through his head, thinking less than 365 days ago, the hell he was going through with the hip injury, people saying, you know, you might be out all this money, you're not going to get drafted, you might have to miss, you know, a year, you might never be the same player again, this, that, and the other. And for him to come back in less than a calendar year and to just play in an NFL game, even if it's mop-up time, just for him to sit out on that field by himself in an empty stadium and soak it in was somewhat moving. I will say that. It was a moving visual. It was a moving picture. And it says a lot about him as a person. It says he knows you don't take this for granted. And, you know, hopefully we'll get to see him a few more times before he moves into the starting lineup, which I still think will be this year at some point. I honestly do. Like I said, Fitzpatrick did not play well today, and he's had, you know, in this 3-3 stretch, he's played two games that I would say are good against Jacksonville and San Francisco, and four games where I think he's played absolutely horrible. So I do think it's just a matter of time still, but that's another topic for another day. Tua, he got his moment today. He got on the field. Hopefully we see more of it. And Tom, you know, here's the funny part. In the year of this pandemic, where there's only 13,000 fans allowed in the stadium, I don't even know what the official number was. I can look it up here real quick. What was the number here for the stadium today?
It was just under 11,000.
It was just under 11,000. And 15 years from now, there's going to be 50,000 fans saying, I was there when Tua stepped on the field for the first time. Every Dolphins fan is going to claim they were there when we know in reality they weren't.
Yep.
100%. So the game stats, we'll go through these real quick. Not much really to write home about, as we touched on a few things already. The Dolphins gained 18 first downs. The Jets only a total of 13. This stat is just, I'm shaking my head as I'm saying it. The Dolphins were 1 for 9 on third down, and the one was Tua converting it when the game was way out of reach. And the Jets were 2 for 17 on third down, Mike. 2 for 17. They were 2 for 3 on fourth down efficiency, but think about that for a second. How bad do you have to be? They had almost double the amount of opportunities as the Dolphins, and they only converted one more third down than the Miami Dolphins in this game.
They're the worst team in NFL Unbelievable. History. I've been telling people for weeks, I don't think, you know, fans of the Dolphins, we're sort of wrapped up in our own world with the Dolphins, and, you know, you see the Jets lose every week, okay, it's the Jets, they're bad. And you see a team that loses every week, you say, that team's bad. Unless you actually dive in, and I dive into this stuff because I'm a diehard fan. I, you know, run this website, and I enjoy it. I dive in. And the Jets aren't, I've been saying it, and I think people now kind of sunk in, they're not just a bad team. They're a historically bad team. We've had teams go 0-16 before. I think the Lions did not too long ago. The Browns did not too long ago. Tampa Bay, I think, went 0-14 their first year, I think. So we've had teams not win a game. Those teams, you know, there were a few weeks where they were competitive.
Detroit, you know, especially.
Yeah, I mean, they were in games. They just caught some bad luck. The Jets, yeah, they were in a game with the Broncos. Okay. You look at the rest of their schedule. I have to call. Hold on. I got to call. I'm going to call up for you because it's worth going over just to have a laugh. The Jets schedule. If you tell me where you see any chance of a win. Here's the remaining games. Next week versus the Bills, that's a loss. At the Chiefs, that's a loss. New England, that's a loss. They get a bye week. The Chargers on the road, probably a loss. I mean, that's a loss. Yeah. That's a loss. Home against Miami. Well, we just shut them out today. Raiders, who are looking good, they just beat the Chiefs on the road. They ain't gonna lose that. At Seattle,
big time loss.
At the Rams,
big time loss.
Home against the Browns. Browns had a rough day today, but they're going to be in the playoff hunt. They're going to, I mean, that's a solid team. Nick Chubb will be back. They're going to run it down their freaking throats. They ain't going to lose that one. And they close out the year at New England. That's 0-16. That's they will not be competitive in any one of those games. If you look, here's something else, too, because I made a little bit of money. Actually, made a lot of money today betting on this game. If you want to make money betting against the Jets, do it in the next week or two, because the nations and the people in Las Vegas are going to start to catch on and make these point spreads so high, you're not going to want to touch the game.
They're going to be 3 touchdown underdogs against the Chiefs. Mark,
yes, they will. At Kansas City, absolutely. Next week, they play home against the Bills. If the Bills lose on Monday night to the Chiefs, or even if they win a tight game,
that point spread,
it'll be between 9.5 to 12 points, sort of like this week's spread. Jump all over it. The Bills will run roughshod over them. After that, though, the line's going to start to jump. I mean, so, look, free advice. If you can place a bet legally, because we don't advocate illegal sports gambling here at our website. If you can place a bet, if you can place a bet legally, do it next week and go against the Jets, because this is going to end soon, because the point spreads are going to be so big, nobody's going to want to touch them. But they have just been absolutely brutal. Look at these losses. 27-17, 31-13, 36-7, 37-28. That was the competitive game. They still lost by 9. 30 to 10, 24 zip. They are horrid. They are horrid. They're going to get Trevor Lawrence, which is going to suck. But I'll worry about that next year. The Jets stink. And, you know, this is what you want from the Dolphins. Here's a takeaway from this game. And I know I pointed out a few things here that were negative. I can also point out a few more. And that the offensive line, which has been sensational through 5 games, was not good today.
No, they weren't.
Solomon Kinley struggled a lot. He gave up a sack. He did not have a good game. Jesse, he did not play good at left tackle. Jesse Davis struggled too. The offensive line today played a bad game. But guess what? The sign of a good NFL team is when you don't play your best game and you still win. That's it. That's what you know. That's one thing you can watch as a franchise. You want to see in this rebuilding process where we are as a franchise. The Miami Dolphins did not play a great game today. They still won 24 zip. That's signs of improvement. That's signs of a team growing. that's signs of a team finding a way to win when you don't have your A game. Last week against San Francisco, they had an A-plus game on offense, an A-plus game on special teams, and an A-plus game on defense. This week, they had an A-plus game on defense, and they were okay on special teams, but the offense, not an F, but probably like a C-plus. They weren't good, and they still found a way to win. So it can be critical of the team, but just, you know, remember, they still won. And absolutely, we can point out the flaws, because there are flaws here, especially with the offensive line and the quarterback. Neither one was good today. In fact, they were both bad. But it's a sign of a good team when you can not play your best game and still win. And that's what happened today. They didn't play their best game, but they still found a way to win.
I think this is the game. This is the first time that Matt Hawk has actually had, I think, more than like 5 punts, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
It's been crazy to think that he hasn't seen the field a whole heck of a lot. Continuing through, the Dolphins had 110 yards on the ground, averaging 4.4 yards per carry. The Jets had 115 yards rushing at 5.2 yards per tote. Passing for both teams, not very good. 192 yards for the Miami Dolphins net yards passing. The Jets had 148. amazing stat there. Gross yards passing was 186. They lost 38 yards on total sacks and 28 on one play alone. Ryan Fitzpatrick was sacked twice in this game. Let's see here. I have to get down to red zone efficiency. The Jets saw the red zone once. No dice. 0-for-1. Dolphins made the red zone 5 times, scored 3 touchdowns, and all 3 of those touchdowns were goal-to-go efficiency. That's what you want. When you get inside that 10, you need to put up touchdowns. And they did it again, second week in a row. So very good job there. Time of possession, the Dolphins failed to out-possess the Jets. The Jets had it for 31 minutes and 55 seconds to the Dolphins, 28 minutes and 5 seconds. Just a very strong effort. And, Mike, like you said, good teams find a way to win even when they play poorly.
Yep.
And the Dolphins definitely did not have their A game. They had their A plus game against San Francisco. If I had to give a letter grade for this game today, I would probably say a C minus, because I think the defense overall played very strong. I love the game from Myles Gaskin, and they were efficient when they had the opportunity to be, and Fitzpatrick just did not look good the way he did last week. So no, there's no quarterback controversy. Ryan Fitzpatrick will be your starting quarterback when they take the field against the Rams in 2 weeks. But soak it in, folks. The Miami Dolphins are 3-3 after the first 6 games of the season. And now we go into the big stretch. We got 10 games to go to make up any sort of possibility to get into the postseason. Dolphins have to win at least 6 out of the next 10.
Yep. And a few things here. I wouldn't give them a C minus. I go a little bit higher because they were very good on defense. But I probably put it at like a B minus grade. A couple things here that we sort of didn't touch on. Number one, Elandon Roberts is like a new man out there. He is playing outstanding football at middle linebacker. You know, the first couple games, he wasn't very good. The past few, he's been excellent. So I want to give him credit. Noah Igbunagani, again, wasn't on the field a lot, and that's okay. He doesn't need to be. Let the kid clear his head. He was on the field at the end of the game some, but in the first half of this game and such, when the game was still a game, he wasn't on the field a lot, and I'm okay with that. So good there. Benito Jones was called up from the active roster. He was called up from the practice squad to the active roster on Saturday. He was active today. Jason Strowbridge was another healthy scratch. So the Dolphins, you know, from that, it sort of is a sign that they feel they need a big wide body in the middle to replace Devon Godchaut, and that's why they went with Jones over Strowbridge, because Strowbridge really is an end who can only play inside. He can only play inside on passing downs. So Jones, he's going to have an opportunity here. He was an undrafted rookie out of Mississippi. A lot of people like him. We'll see, though, what he can do here if and when he's on the field. I don't know how many snaps he was on the field today. We'll find out more. I know he didn't really make an impact or make a play that really stood up. So I don't even know how much he was on the field because I really wasn't paying attention. We sort of spoke about the secondary with Jones and Howard. You know, that's an outstanding tandem. But the one thing, Tom, we have to talk about is the mounting injuries that the Miami Dolphins have. And thank God they are off next week because they had a bunch of injuries in this game. And some of them, you know, aren't little things here. They are things that are going to make you worry. First, Kyle Vannoy was inactive for this game. He's got a few things going. He got a foot issue. He's got a few things going on. Kyle Vannoy was inactive. I think by their next game, he should be okay, which is what, November 1st, I believe, against the Rams. He should be okay, so nothing to worry about there. Byron Jones, in the first quarter of this game, had to leave the game for a bit. He tweaked something, was working on. He did return, so nothing to worry about there. He's fine. He returned and played the entire game. But having that extra week now, clearly needed for Jones. He, you know, let him have a few weeks here. So when they are back on the field for this, you know, final run here and push for the playoffs, he should be 100%. Andrew Van Ginkle left the game with a concussion. He did not return. We'll see what goes on there. You never know with concussions. It could be he should be fine in a couple weeks, or it could be something that lasts longer. Hopefully it's something that he'll be okay by the next game. He left with a concussion. Devontae Parker left with a groin injury. He didn't return. Parker's had hamstring injuries, now groin injury. Once again, the bye week couldn't come at a better time. Thank God the NFL changed the schedule around for the Dolphins. That's the one that's probably the most concerning because Miami's wide receivers, they need him. Without him, they're in a lot of trouble. So hopefully Parker will be okay by their next game, November 1st. We'll see. And Raekwon Davis, who's, you know, seeing increased workload with the injury to Devon Godchow, he left the game with a shoulder injury. No word on how severe that might be, but the Miami Dolphins are the walking wounded, Tom. They lost a lot of guys in this game, and hopefully, you know, come week eight when they're lining up against the Rams, a lot of these guys are back and okay, but that's not a guaranteed thing. They have a lot of guys out right now, and that's still not counting Austin Jackson. We haven't heard anything about him. I don't even think he'd be eligible to play against the Rams. I'm not sure. I'd have to check that out because he missed last week. Yeah, I think he would be eligible to play against the Rams, but who knows how he's doing. A lot of injuries, Tom.
Yeah, but, you know, again, it's, you know, the NFL did us a favor by putting the bye week next week because now we have a chance to get everybody healthy again and, you know, look forward to a Rams team that'll be coming across country at a 1 o'clock start, and it's going to be hot down there in South Florida. So I think it is here at the right time. Austin Jackson, I don't believe will be eligible. I mean, he's minimum 3 weeks. I don't think that's 3 games. It's 3 weeks. So next
it's 3 weeks. So he
would be eligible to come back, but let's see how his foot is recovering.
I mean, they haven't, you know, they haven't said much about that injury, and he could be out for the year and they're just not letting anybody know. Honestly, he might be out for the year and they just haven't told anybody, which is their right. They don't have to tell anybody. With this new IR rule, you can come back after 3 weeks just for this year because of everything with the virus and stuff. So when they put him on IR, you know, he might be done for the year and they just don't want to tell anybody, which is very possible. Or he could come back as soon as 3 weeks, not 3 games, 3 weeks. And that would be in time for the Rams game. But once again, who knows? We have no clue what's going on with him. And, you know, it's tough to be hard on the offensive line because out of 6 games, they played great for 5. But today wasn't their finest moment, but it's okay. But, you know, with the Rams and Aaron Darnold, they got to be much, much better or else this offense is really going to struggle.
Yeah. Again, let's hope that they get everybody healthy and right. You know, we're going to have a nice little week off here. We don't have much that we have to worry about, but we got games to watch. You know, the Buffalo Bills have a very tough game tomorrow against the Kansas City Chiefs at 5 o'clock. And if the Bills lose that game, the Dolphins are sitting 1 game behind first place in the AFC East, where 2 weeks ago everyone's saying the Bills are going to run away with this thing. Bills' schedule is not going to get any easier. This is going to be a very tough schedule for the Buffalo Bills going forward. You know, yeah, they're going to be playing the Kansas City Chiefs, but they still have to play the Baltimore Ravens. They have to play the Seattle Seahawks.
Pittsburgh.
They have to play Pittsburgh. They have teams that they have to go out and play against, and they are going to have a it's not going to be easy. It's going to be
at San Francisco. They're at San Francisco, and who knows? San Francisco, as we are recording, is up 21-6. If San Francisco, by the time they play the Bills in San Francisco, might be a totally, totally different team than what we saw last week. The Bills got, look, Miami's schedule is no walk in the park, but the Bills, you know, they got a challenging schedule as well. That's why if they can, if the Chiefs can beat them Monday night, 5 p.m. Eastern time, I love 5 p.m. football during the week. They should make that every week, honestly. It will change the landscape of the AFC East very quickly, and it puts Miami right in the mix. Obviously, they got some stuff to work on in Miami, and they got to get some guys healthy, but, you know, they got a lot of time off now. They have a lot of time off before their next game. Tom, who gets your game ball for today?
The game ball for me will go to Myles Gaskin. I think he rebounded perfectly from the probably, what, 2 days of rumors of Le'Veon Bell potentially coming to Miami. Myles Gaskin put everything to rest in regards of who the number one running back on this team is this season at this time is Myles Gaskin, and he is doing a tremendous job, and he had himself a very, very nice game today for the Miami Dolphins as he, I think he got close to 100 yards rushing.
And 91.
91 in rushing yards, and on top of that, you know, he had some catches. At that one-handed catch that he had in that first quarter was fantastic.
He had 126 total catches, yards.
126 total yards. He had 35 yards receiving on, you know, 4 for 4 on targets. I haven't seen this guy drop a pass very much at all.
Oh.
So my game ball goes to Myles Gaskin. I think he really set the tone, averaging over 5 yards a carry in this game.
Well, there's two for me, and I'm going to give out two because, let's be honest, it's my podcast and there's no rules to this. So I'm giving out two. Number one, tight end Adam Shaheen, 3 receptions, 51 yards and a touchdown, caught all 3 of his targets. He has been, like I said, a pleasant surprise as sort of that number two tight end and that sort of pass catching threat for the Miami Dolphins this year. Adam Shaheen gets one. And the other one, Emmanuel Agba, again, 2 sacks on the day. The big one for the loss of 28 yards is the one everyone will, of course, remember. But 5 sacks here through 6 games. Another big game today. He has stepped up to be that number one pass rusher that the Miami Dolphins desperately needed. So Emmanuel Agba, Adam Shaheen, both get a game ball for me today. Kudos. I mean, look, 24-0 in this league. 24-0 against a team inside the AFC East. I know the Jets stink on toast. They're just terrible. They're just horrid. But it's a win. I'll take it. And they got to work on some things, like we said. But God, Tom, I'm loving where they are right now as a team. I'm loving how the season's kind of shaping up. And we might have an exciting 2020 season here on our hands as fans of the Dolphins. We really might.
This could turn into something. And if the Dolphins can get on a roll here, winning 2 straight now, if they can find a way to get on a roll and go through these next 6 games, like you said, if they can finish 500, if they can be 4-2, dare I say, could they get to 5-1 in those next 6? We'll find out. You know, there's, you know, taking it game by game, the Rams are first and foremost going to be on the Dolphins' minds, but they have a bye week now. They have time to rest. They have time to heal and time to prepare for the Rams coming to town. And the guy that is on that defensive line is not going to make it easy by any means.
Aaron no. Donald. And it's nice that they got some extra time to prepare for him because Solomon, he's a rookie. And I know he had a rough day today, but, you know, he should have some extra time. I mean, having some extra time to prepare for that type of matchup isn't bad. I mean, it's not good. That's going to be a handful for him.
Get the ice bath ready for him.
Exactly. So overall, good. Now, Tom, I got a couple questions for you here at the end of the show.
Yes, sir.
Number one, Adam Gase, at the time we are recording this, still hasn't been fired. What's the odds Adam Gase is the head coach of the Jets the next time we play the Jets? I'll get the date. What's the next time the Dolphins play? I don't even, I closed out the schedule. What's the next time when Miami plays the Jets? November 29th. What's the odds Adam Gase is the coach of the Jets? Put a percentage on it.
60%.
Okay, I'm going to go much lower. I'll go 20%. I don't think they can. I can see the case each way where fire him now, end this, and just move on from the Adam Gase era with the Jets. The other thing is he made this mess. Let him live through it on his own. Let him suffer each week. But I think, you know, it'll by the end of November, it will just be too much. It'll be too much pressure on the owner, too much pressure on the general manager. It's just too much. I don't see – there's no way. And I actually do think by the time most of you are listening to this, he will be fired. I think he's going to get fired late tonight or first thing in the morning. That's just my wild off-the-wall prediction. But if not, it's very low percentage, I think, at least. We'll see. It could go either way, clearly. Yeah, next cool. question. I saw you put up on Twitter your meal of the day. It looks like a brisket, correct?
Yes, sir.
How was the brisket?
It was fantastic. I think my wife is still upstairs eating some. it was great though. It was about it was about a 10 and a half hour process to get it up to about 190 in internal temperature. Let it set for an hour and the juices kept pouring out every cut. So nice. It was perfectly done.
Nice. That's what I'm liking them. That did look good. So I don't know. I think that's all we have for today. I do want to say we did announce the winner for the Zach Thomas jersey this morning. I tweeted out the process where we picked the winner. It was Will Webb, who's a listener of our podcast and a follower of our website. So congratulations to Will Webb on winning the Zach Thomas jersey. It's on its way to you, so you should have it soon. I said with that contest, it'd probably be the last one we'd run for a while, and it might be. I'm still deciding. The thing is, these contests are getting a lot of positive feedback, and people are really enjoying them. The only problem is I got to come up with a prize, and I got to try to find a way to get my hands on a prize that is makes it worthwhile, so it's interesting to people. So might take a week or two off here, and if I can come up with a way to get a prize that people actually want, maybe we'll do another contest. I don't know. I know a lot of people are liking it. They're really excited about playing. I'm getting, you know, a ton of entries. I really am getting a ton of entries. So I just want to thank everyone who did participate in that one. And, you know, keep playing. Keep playing, folks, because, you know, it's fun to do this type of interactive stuff with the people who read our website, listen to the podcast. And it's fun to just, you know, yes, we love talking about the team. And you guys come to us for news and audio and all that stuff. I get it. But just a way to sort of give back and give you a chance to win a pretty cool prize is kind of neat, because I know a lot of people get excited over that. So congratulations to Will Webb, the winner.
Congratulations, Will. Enjoy that jersey. It's not going to bring you bad luck like every jersey I buy. Which, by the way, Mike, I am not wearing the Tua jersey until he's a full-time starter. So
yes. Yes. Yeah,
so it's still hanging in the closet. I'm not wearing it. I'm not jinxing it right now. That's all I have to say about
it. And also, like I said here at somewhere at the start of the show, follow us on Instagram at Dolphins Talk. We're going to be doing so much more stuff with Instagram moving forward. You know, we're very active on Twitter, obviously. But Instagram, we're going to do so much more with that platform. You're going to want to be a part of it, because we might even do some exclusive contests with Instagram. We might have exclusive material with Instagram. I'm going to do a show every Sunday morning on Instagram. Not a long show, just a little video live, Instagram live. We're going to have other people doing some Instagram stuff. So you're going to want to check out Instagram moving forward. So if you're not following us there, take 2 seconds. The link's up on our website and stuff. Click it. Go to our Instagram page. Once again, easy to follow us at Instagram. It's the same place you follow us on Twitter, at Dolphins Talk. Give us a follow there, because we're going to be doing a lot more with Instagram here the rest of the year and just moving forward in general. So check that out. I also want to plug, I don't plug it enough, and they do a great job running our Facebook page. It's a joint venture with the Facebook page. The I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan. At the end of each article, at the end of each podcast, I put a link to the Facebook page, our official Facebook page. It's run by Carlos Hernandez It's called I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan. It's a Facebook page that is outstanding. So for those of you on Facebook, check out the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page. Like it. Give it a follow. Carlos Hernandez does a great job. And you're going to want to check out them on Facebook. But, you know, you want to be following us on other platforms, especially Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Those are the ones we're going to really that's the ones we really interact with you people the most. On top of the website, of course, we got the website. Go to our website all the time for the latest news, information, podcast, video, audio, all that good stuff. Go to DolphinsTalk.com.
Absolutely. Thank you all for listening. It is Victory Monday, everybody. Enjoy it. And not only is it Victory Monday, it's Manscaped Monday. So go to Manscaped.com.
Oh, my God. We didn't do any Manscaped. I know.
Put the promo code DolphinsTalk. Save yourself 20% on your order again. Go to Manscaped.com.
Hold on.
20% off.
They sent me some copy to read. Let's read one here to end the show. I got a couple that you sent me. And I won't read the one I read on Thursday because I couldn't make it through it. I was laughing too much. Yes, everyone go to manscaped.com. Use the promo code DolphinsTalk. Save 20%. What does a guy call his best friends? His testy bestie. Of course, Halloween is right around the corner, and you don't want to spook someone with your scary bush. Our friends at Manscaped want to help make your boys downstairs clean and his best friends of their own. Manscaped is number one men's below the waist in grooming and offers precision engineering tools for your family jewels. Once again, here's more copy. Rawr! You might be Chewbacca, Bigfoot, or a hairy bear, but it's what's under the costume that really matters. Don't be a hairy guy. It's just, I mean, look, I can't read all these. I can't make it through it. But everyone, go to Manscaped. Get the foot spray. Get the man mints for your mouth. The man mints are very cheap. They're actually good mints. Better than a Tic Tac or anything like that. I actually went there and I did buy some of those. They're outstanding. You know, you can get the Lawnmower 3.0. Ian Rappaport, hope to see you soon, buddy, because you got a raw deal. Raw deal, raw. I hope you're not raw. From using the Lawnmower 3.0, you shouldn't have been suspended for 2 weeks. The NFL was wrong about that. And you're welcome to come on the DolphinsTalk.com podcast at any time and talk about Manscaped. We fully support Ian Rappaport. But go to manscaped.com and get the plow. There's so many great products. Honestly, as I say each time, we say this as a joke, tongue-in-cheek. Have fun with it. But they really do have some amazing products. So everyone go to manscaped.com. Promo code DolphinsTalk. Save 20%.
Absolutely. Again, everyone, thank you for listening. Follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk. Follow me on Twitter at DolphinsTalkTom. Follow us on Instagram at Dolphins Talk, and be sure to go to DolphinsTalk.com for all the latest Miami Dolphins news and information. Enjoy your Victory Monday. We are out. Fins up. Let's go.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.